scrap bag that I call my mind. What am I doing? Welcome to Stephanie's Train Travels.
Thank you for listening. I'm here with Stephanie, and this is our third episode.
Hello.
This is very exciting, so I'm excited to keep doing this, and I'm excited for Stephanie to share more of her stories.
And so are my other passengers on the train. We got to listen to it on the train when I was working, and all my crew members were in the dining car listening to it. They loved it very much, and so did I.
Good. I liked it very much also.
Gosso.
Yeah. This week, what we're going to talk about is, because you travel so much, because it is a part of your job, and you travel across the country, the nature is you get on a train and there's windows everywhere.
Right.
So it's an experience. You've talked about that. It's an experience to see the country, how beautiful it is, all the different settings, all the different environments you ride through. As a result of these experiences that these people have, it's natural that people collect memorabilia, not just what,
right,
not just the foamers, not right, just the fans of the trains who wear the hats and, you know, the different, what is all they try to come in the uniform, like not the uniforms, but they have like costumes sometimes. They'll wear a hat.
They'll wear overalls.
Overalls,
like,
yeah.
Like conductors and the engineers used to do years and years
ago.
Yeah. They'll wear hats with railroad pins all over. They'll wear Amtrak shirts. So when you see people coming with Amtrak shirts on the train towards you, towards your car, I know right away that you love trains.
Yeah.
Some of them are actually walking around with radios,
mm-hmm,
and listening, kind of eavesdropping on the channels that the conductors and engineers and dispatchers communicate on. And we call them foamers. It's a term of endearment, believe me. I know it sounds strange, but people love it. Love trains. It's been a great way to travel for so many years for so many people. And the heart of the train, I have always thought, is the dining car, where you have four individual single people that all of a sudden are sitting at a table telling your story or where you're going to, where you're from, where you're traveling to. It's very nice. It's not a lot of places anymore where you could sit four strangers at a table and enjoy each other's company and share a meal.
And the way that it's set up, if you're getting on the train, you sort of know that's what you're getting into.
Right.
So
right.
There's a lot of open-mindedness about conversation and about meeting other people.
Right.
And it's just really nice because we do live in America and there's all kinds of different people in the country. So
there is.
You know, and then there's all shapes. Not shapes. There's all kinds of ages. So you might get some children. You might get some,
right,
you know, older people, and they all have to interact.
Right.
And they interact in front of these giant windows.
Right.
You know, riding through all these different scenes, and it's great. But back to the thing that the train fans do is they have the pins.
Yes.
So one thing that a lot of people collect, if they're travelers, not just trains but everywhere, but one of the easiest things to collect is pins.
Right.
But probably the most collected item or most bought trinket that people share with other people, you know, you go to Florida, you go buy a postcard and you,
right,
send it to friends and family, like,
right,
missing you in Florida or wish you were here or this is where I'm at.
Right.
Be jealous.
Right.
But that is a big thing with these trips on the train is the postcards.
Right.
You didn't collect postcards, but how far into it did you start? You have, my point being, you have a very large postcard collection.
I have a very large postcard collection. I started probably after meeting a passenger. His name is Richard Gary Canning. He would send me postcards all the time throughout the year. He has only traveled with me once, but I think I've kept in contact with him for almost 10 years. And he has a flea market that he produces in the Rose Bowl in Pasadena, California, on the second Sunday of each month. He's been doing that for over 50 years. But when he rode with me, it was the first time I actually saw him for the very first time. I was standing in line in the Portland train station at a little snack restaurant inside. And I noticed they have a big selection of railroad pins there that you could purchase. They have a big selection of T-shirts. And I kind of noticed that the gentleman ahead of me, he just had a backpack, but he was asking the lady that worked at the counter all about railroad pins. And I thought to myself, okay, he likes trains. And then lo and behold, a couple hours later, here he comes on my sleeping car. And every time that he has traveled, he always purchases two deluxe rooms, which are the most expensive rooms. And there's two rooms that are, you're able to, what we call ensuite the room. There's a sliding door that you unlock that you could have two deluxe rooms right next door to each other. So what he does is, and this is his routine because he requested, there's a manifest that we get when we first get on the train where you look in the back and there's special service requests. Well, he requested that that sliding door be open and that room B and C be ensuited. And then once I met him on the train and we started talking, he's like, this is what I need, Stephanie. I said, yes, sir. And he said, I want my bed down in one of the rooms the entire trip. And then I want my other room to be like my sitting and reading room where you'll deliver my meals to me. I'm so, okay, no problem. And that's his routine. That's what he does every trip. But he has only traveled with me once. But over a period of 10 years, I don't know how many postcards he sends me. He sends me at least probably 15 to 20 postcards a year.
And this is letting you know all the different places he's
right,
gone.
Right.
Are they always from the Amtrak trains or?
No. Oh no. He's traveled to over 250 countries. Mm-hmm. He's very well traveled, but he loves trains, and he'll send me a postcard for Christmas, New Year's Eve, my birthday, St. Patrick's Day, Labor Day. It's been very interesting. I have probably the most postcards from him. Mm-hmm. Throughout the years, because he's just he loves sending postcards to all his friends, and he is a very well liked man. He's been, like I said, he's been doing that flea market for 50 years. So he lives in Pasadena, in Maywood, California, but he travels all the time, and that's kind of how I started collecting postcards, because a lot of my passengers come from overseas, like New Zealand or Australia. And, you know, they've saved up a lot of money to finally have a train trip. And so at the end of a train trip, I always say, well, where are you from? Or in the beginning, where are you from? Or where do you live? And some people came over on the QE2. Some people from Australia, New Zealand, Finland. And so I asked them, would you send me a postcard? So that's kind of how I started collecting postcards. It was kind of a way to keep in touch with passengers, too. And I always said, well, give me your address, and I'll send you one from my little town of Hobart, Indiana. They're like, okay. And I call them postcard pals. You'll be my part of Stephanie's peep club. That's what I call it. There was also another interesting gentleman, and I've met him once. His name is Charles R. Venetter, and he lives in Ecuador. And he has a company there, but he's originally from Portland, Oregon. So twice a year, he comes back to visit his sisters and his family there. And so I asked him, you know, we're talking about where you're from and stuff. Well, I live in Ecuador. And so I asked him, would you send me a postcard from Ecuador? But when I asked him to send me a postcard, he said, I'll do you one better. I'll send you my mother's postcard collection. So a couple weeks go by, and I come into the train station of Portland, and one of the guys said, Stephanie, there was a package that came for you all the way from Ecuador. And everybody wondered, what's in there? What's going on? What did you get from Ecuador? I said, oh, it's probably the gentleman from the train trip who said he was going to send me his mother's postcard collection. And he did. And I was just, it was a box. And it must have had over 200 postcards from 1908 until, you know, wow, up until the time she passed away. But it was so nice of him. So I got to go through somebody else's postcard collection. So that was fun. you know, to read all the places that she had traveled to. And, of course, I sent him a nice thank you card about that. But it was nice to see all the postcards that she had sent throughout the years to different people and stuff, and people sending her postcards. So
if you had to guess, if you had to estimate, how many different people send you postcards?
Probably at least 25, maybe, that I've kept in contact with.
From all over the world.
From all over the world, yeah. And wow. I always, when I ask people to send me a postcard, I always kind of say, hey, I got a postcard from New Zealand that's been the best postcard of the year, or from Iceland. Uh-huh. And there's actually another person that sends me postcards. There's a waitress, not a waitress, a manager in the hotel that we stay at in Portland, her and her husband and her son, and she travels all over the world. So I started talking to her. I said, so where are you going this year? Oh, well, we're going to go to Spain. We're going to go to Iceland. And I started asking her to send me postcards. So that's what she does also. So I'm a postcard junkie. I don't know.
They're nice.
I got to have a postcard. I just, it's just a nice way to see where the folks are from. And I had an interesting story. I had two ladies that traveled with me from Australia a couple years ago, and they didn't want to send a postcard. Well, they said, we couldn't find a decent enough postcard to really show you what Australia was like. So what they did is they sent me a calendar from Australia. And what was interesting is they sent me a map of where they live. They live in Hobart, Australia. And I live in Hobart, Indiana. And I thought, what are the odds of that?
Yeah.
You know, but...
Do you remember their names?
Wendy and Imogen. And they lived in Australia. And I worked with them when I was doing the California Zephyr.
Mm-hmm.
And I took them from California into Chicago. And then they switched to go to the New York train, which is called the Lakeshore Limited. But they sent me a nice letter saying, we couldn't find a decent enough postcard, so we sent you this lovely calendar.
That's really
nice. So that
nice.
Was nice, yeah.
Yeah, that is nice.
I remember the one lady, she was kind of sick. I think she was recovering from cancer.
Mm-hmm.
So they were just excited to be on the train, and they were feeling better.
Yeah, yeah.
But a couple times, I think I delivered their meals to their room because mm-hmm. the one lady wasn't feeling that strong to go to the diner. But, yeah, so I got calendars, I got postcards, I got people send me scarves. People that know me know my favorite color is pink. So some lady sent me a pair of pink socks that she made. One lady sent me pink ceramic roses that she made. I mean, it's just amazing, all these people that send you stuff. And, you know, I just send me a postcard.
Yeah.
And, you know, you start to notice people on the train that, like if they're knitting something or sewing something, you know, I'll just start talking to them and say, hey, what are you making there? And people bring a lot of stuff on the train to occupy their time. A lot of people keep journals on the train that travel with us and stuff. And I always ask, am I going to be in your journal? They're like, yeah, we'll put you in there. Don't worry. I said, okay. But to travel by train nowadays, it's like stepping back in time. It's a nice way to go. And it's very nice to see the passengers when they interact with each other. You know, every once in a while you'll have a passenger that just wants to stay in their room and eat in their room, and that's understandable. That's your right to do that. But I always kind of try to nudge them to the diner, mm-hmm. you know, because it's like it's an experience to be in the dining car, to be waited on by the staff, to talk to the other passengers. And sometimes, you know, people are just shy, and maybe they don't like the community seating that sometimes we do in the dining car. So there's some people that will just stay in their room and relax and read a book and just be in their own little world and just kind of do their own thing. I had one lady years and years ago, her name was Veronica Tyler, and she was an opera singer. And every summer, that was her little getaway after her season of singing in New York. She would religiously take the train all the time in summertime. And it was interesting. She sent me an album.
Yeah. Well, good. Yeah. So in the future, we'll talk more about your collection. But your collecting began with the postcards.
Yes.
And letters.
Right.
And now you have all kinds of things. Homemade stuff.
All kinds of things.
You know, gift shop stuff.
I do.
And we'll talk about that in the future. What we're going to talk about the second half of the show now real quick is one or two train terms. Your train terms of the week.
Okay. Hot boxes. When we go over a certain area on the train, over tracks, there are safety boxes that are laid out on the tracks, I believe. And they're called detectors, actually. They're called detectors. And basically, every once in a while, we'll go over these boxes, and then it'll say how many axles are on the train, and it'll say the temperature, and then the conductor will always have to say detector out. So letting them know that we've gone over the detector, everything's fine with the train, we could proceed. So it'll say detector out, and you'll hear the it's like a computer voice that comes over the radio, and it'll say how many axles are on the train or the temperature, and then the conductor will say, good detector, detector out. So that's one term that
that's
I remember.
A good one.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Yeah. I don't know if I'm saying it right with the boxes. I believe they're just boxes that are underneath the tracks that we go. To be honest, I don't know if they're on the tracks or next door to the tracks, you know. They're just boxes that record our speed and stuff and our axles, I believe. I hope I'm saying it right.
No, it's always interesting to hear the different terminology that you guys use on the train and the stuff in the background, because it's mostly you have your shorthand to communicate with people about functions on the train.
Right. Oh,
but
I got another term.
Sure. But but it's cool to hear the stuff that's in the background, stuff that you hear it, you pay attention to it.
Right.
But you already know what it is, so it's kind of background stuff.
Right.
So it's kind of neat. And what's the second term?
The second term is when I need to talk to a other crew member, like say when I work my car, my Portland sleeper is the last car on the train. So I'm five cars from the dining car, three cars from the lounge car, and perhaps I need to talk to the conductor who's all the way up in the crew car, which is, maybe 10 cars away from my car. So I will go to the PA system, which is a telephone that we pick up, and I'll say, conductor to the IC, and that means, conductor, could you please pick up the intercom? So people always ask me on the train, what's the IC? What is that? What are you guys talking about? What does that mean? I said, well, that's the intercom. And so when the conductor hears me page him, he'll go to his PA, wherever he's at, and he'll say, oh, on the IC stuff. And that's when we start talking to each other over the intercom. And none of the passengers could hear this because we're on a telephone talking back and forth about whatever I need to ask him about.
That's a good term, too.
Yep, that's intercom. That's yep.
Mm-hmm. All right, cool. Mm-hmm. So thank you for listening again this week. Very soon, we will, we're currently on, if you found us, good for you.
Yay.
But Stephanie's Train Travels is on the Green Door Network. It's the Saturday show. We are excited because we are working on creating Stephanie's website and her own iTunes page and her own Instagram and her own Facebook, so that the fans can interact, so that she can share. One of the most exciting things that she's going to share is photographs of all the different things she's collected. There's a lot of people that have gone and traveled with you on these train rides, and you also have a lot of photographs, and it's just all, it's super interesting. And I know I'm very excited to keep doing this and to keep growing this show, and I'm also curious about all the different stories you have to tell. Do you have any final thoughts?
Oh, yes. I leave Tuesday. I don't know what date it is. I leave this Tuesday. I go to Portland. I had caught a little cold, so I missed my last trip, and I'm getting kind of anxious. I want to get back out there and meet new people. So I leave Tuesday. I get home Sunday. Then I'll have 5 days off, and I'll go back out again. So anybody want to come see me, I'm on the Empire Builder. I work the Portland Sleeper, and I leave Tuesday. So go get a train ticket.
what's in this grab bag that I call my mind? What am I doing alone on the shelf? Ain't it a shame, but no one's to blame but myself. Which way is clear? When you've lost your way year after year, do I keep falling in love for just the kick of it, staggering through the thin and thick of it, hating each old tired trick of it? Know what I am? I'm good and sick of it. Inside me, what do I see? Anger and hope and doubt, what am I all about? And where am I going? Tell me, why do I care? Myself there.